Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could join us this evening. Shell and I talked earlier today, and I had some other plans for tonight's show, but I got too busy to bring them to fruition. So when I called Shelley, I said, got any thoughts for tonight's show? And she said, let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein. So I said, okay, very controversial. Lots of opinions out about a man who lived a life that was multifaceted, let's say. And of course, the more I live this life, the more I realize that's true of literally millions of people. People are not always what they seem. And because I'm not a spring chicken, it doesn't come as any big aha to me. But on the same token, it still somehow surprises me that there are so many people here of late that we've talked about that literally had the world in their hands, which is what everybody seeks. And that wasn't enough. And it brought them to lead, well, for lack of any other words, pretty deviant lives. Let's bring Shell in because I have a feeling that she's done some research and probably has some things to share with us about this particular story. But, of course, there's many out there that we've talked about previously. Hi, Shell. How are you doing?
Hi, Rainey. Hi, everyone. Yeah, doing pretty good. Yeah, had an exciting day. Nina got the cast preview to see the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that's going to be opening up at Hollywood Studios, the Disney's Hollywood Studios, in the end of this month. So she got a cast preview for that, which is always very exciting because they want to test the parks out on staffers before they test it out on paying guests. So that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, so we got to check it out. This is like before they opened Pandora and Animal Kingdom, when I was working at the DRC, I had gotten a cast preview for us to go and check that out. And they're a lot of fun because it's not crowded. You know, there's not a lot of people. It's just guests. It's just cast members and they're allowed bringing one guest. So it was very easy to walk around. It was fairly crowded with cast members, but not crowded like it would be, you know, on a normal day. So it was, but they did an incredible job. Any Star Wars fans out there, they're gonna love it. And then, I think in 2020, if I remember correctly, towards the summer of 2020, what Disney is doing to really create an immersive experience here. Cause when you walk around there, you feel like you're on the planet. You see the Millennium Falcon, which was Han Solo's ship, the iconic ship in all the Star Wars movies. And then you see some of the fighters and some of the First Order ships and stuff. So it's very, very realistic, the landscape, the restaurants and things like that. You see people walking around in costumes. So it's pretty outrageous. They did an excellent job.
Sounds very neat.
But what they're doing for 2020 is they're opening up a resort that's going to be linked. So it's going to be a Star Wars themed resort. And when you're in your room, the windows in the rooms are going to be, I don't know how to describe it. They're not going to be real windows. You can't look out them. There's going to be, they're like movie screens. But it looks like a window.
Wow.
And you're going to be seeing, so you're going to feel like you're on a spaceship when you're in the hotel because you're going to be seeing space. You're going to be seeing stars and like you're on a spaceship looking out into Never Never Land. You know, looking out
wow.
into the, you know, like you're up on a ship out in outer space somewhere. So I can't wait for the resort to open up. We've already decided that my sister and I and Danny and Justin are going to go because we're all big Star Wars fans. So, yeah, so we're really looking to have that whole big experience. And then anybody staying in the resort is going to have a separate way of getting into the park. They're going to have like a back entrance to the park, some sort of transport that takes you right from the resort. So you're like on a shuttle. And then you end up, so the whole experience is going to be totally immersive. You never leave the Star Wars theming. So it's a very interesting concept that they've pulled together here. And there's so many Star Wars. It's kind of like the Harry Potter thing that they did at Universal, but even more immersive because of the resort thing. So in Universal, they had the two Harry Potter parks, which are linked by the train. You know, and I'm a huge Harry Potter fan too. So we've done that whole thing where we, you know, you go from one park to the other via the train, and so you never leave the Harry Potter theming. But then when you leave the park, you do. Well, what Disney is doing that's a little different and more immersive is that now you can literally stay in that Star Wars world the entire time you're there, because if you just go back and forth between your hotel and the park, because you're going to have that singular entrance. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm anxious to see what it's like when they finally open the resort next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds amazing. But, of course, everything in Disney World, I think, is, you know, it's designed with the imagination of a child. And
oh, yeah.
I think that's what makes it so amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Because kids believe anything can happen. Consequently, mm-hmm. it changes all the dynamics. So I think it's an amazing thing. let's talk about, first of all, before we talk too much about Jeffrey Epstein, let's touch base a little bit on all the other people that blew our minds to find out when all the Me Too stuff came out. And we've talked about this on the show several different mm-hmm. ways and honed in on different pieces of that particular puzzle. And I think that hand in hand with what has just gone on with the game of soccer and women's soccer and all the fighting women have done through the years, which you and I have paid homage to on several different occasions, the fact that we had to fight to stand beside the men of this world instead of beneath them. And now all these men in particular, but some women have had a part in it too. I mean, they're finding out Jeffrey Epstein's longtime girlfriend was his personal shopper for some of these young girls. So it kind of hurts my heart, Shell, to be honest. It's one thing to look at somebody that's a pervert that should be put out of their misery. It's another thing to look at a group effort to demean young women and in
mm-hmm.
some cases young men. That's
mm-hmm.
what hurts me more than anything. And they're
right.
they're not people that are striving to survive. They're millionaires, billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the fight for survival. And yet I don't get it. I'm pretty good at trying to figure out why people do the things they do. I'll be damned if I can figure out why this. I mean, you need sex, you know, use your hand for Christ's sakes.
I know, but it's not, but I've talked about that on the show before, and a lot of people, more and more people are waking up every day and getting it, but it has nothing to do with sex and power. This is a, what do you call it? It's like an underbelly of society, but it's an underbelly of the richest and most powerful people. You have to understand
right.
that 98% of the wealth is controlled by 1% of the population. I mean, that's offensive. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're talking of 7 billion people on the face of this planet, and the the majority of the wealth is controlled by 7,000 people, by 1%. They're called the 1%ers. Well, the vast majority of those people, they do not see the rest of us as human. They see us as worker bees, as livestock. We are just a means to an end. They can't see that we are the same as them. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about a Richard Branson or somebody like that. There are a lot of billionaires.
Of course
I shouldn't say a lot. There are billionaires. There are wealthy people that are very connected, that are very spiritual, that are very loving in their attitude towards their fellow humans. But there is a large percentage of very, very wealthy people, of these billionaires, and mega millionaires, you know, people that are worth $500 million, you know, and more, that see human beings, see the rest of us as an energy source. And one of the things, and I've mentioned this word before, it's called LOOSH, L-O-O-S-H. And what LOOSH is the byproduct, the energetic byproduct of intense suffering. So a lot of them will get involved in these type of, what is it called? You know, like when you have a lot of people, I'm drawing a blank on the word now. It's like a whole group of these men, but it's not like a dozen men. It's hundreds, it's thousands, probably tens of thousands of these people are networked in these groups that rings. That's it, pedophile rings. Okay, so these pedophile rings are very, very prolific. They're very wealthy. They're very well organized. So it's not like Jeffrey Epstein is this sick SOB who was, who was looking to get pleasure that way. He was part of a bigger picture. That's why the whole suicide, and now all the conspiracy theories are coming out about whether or not it really was a suicide, and, you know, all this kind of nonsense, because he has the ability to take down very, very, very powerful people, people that were even more powerful than him. Some of the names that were revealed in that black book they came across are extremely powerful, much more powerful than him. Some of these are international figures. You know, I mean, even Prince Andrew was one of the names in there. The royal family has been part of scandals having to do with sex trafficking for decades. But because of their wealth and their power, a lot of these investigations never go anywhere. Well, I think that we as a human race, being that there's 7 billion of us on the planet now, and our population is increasing every year, and because of the internet, and because of media, and because of access of people being able to come out, like the Me Too movement and things like that, I think humanity is finally waking up to not putting a blind eye to evil anymore, not saying, "Oh, that can't possibly happen," because if you think back to the 1950s. We were fairly innocent back then. Crimes shocked us because they appeared to be few and far between. Murders would shock communities. A school shooting wasn't even anything that had ever happened. Now it's like we hear of mass shootings all the time. It's almost like people are getting numb to it. It doesn't shock us anymore. It saddens us. It horrifies us. But we're not shocked anymore. That's horrible. Think about the fact that we're not shocked anymore when we hear about mass shootings. You know, as incensed as we are and saddened, it's almost part of our culture. Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is this energy that they feed on. These pedophile rings is only part of a much bigger picture. And children... When children are tortured and mistreated, their energy is much more potent. I was reading a book from one of these men that is doing an expose now, and he left one of these rings, and, you know, he's written several books about it, and I've seen some of his YouTubes. It's shocking. I mean, he gets very, very emotional when he talks about this, because he didn't care about taking advantage of grown adults. He really had no sympathy for people, and that's how he got, and he was very wealthy on his own. He's a very, very wealthy man, very powerful on his own right. But when they asked him to harm a child, that's when he slammed the brakes on. He was like, what are you talking about? That's when, because he was actually abused as a child, because he was in one of these elite families. And his story is heart-wrenching. He's not from the United States. His name is Neil Bernard. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But his story is very compelling. He's gone up in front of many different government agencies to try and get people to understand that this is an elite coalition that is international, that is very powerful, and has got to be brought down. And the only way it's going to be brought down is that people waking up, number one, understanding that this is even happening, all right, that it's not just one guy who has a problem, you know, with having to, you know, lord power over children or women, but that this is actually an international problem, and it's a problem with the people that are in the most powerful and wealthiest positions. So this is very well organized, and they protect each other. That's why the Clintons keep getting brought into this. Now, I had read years ago in an article, and I didn't, you know, this is before Hillary ran for president and all that, and I kind of like ignored the story because I was like, oh, but they're just trying to make it look bad for Hillary so she can't win the election. Well, I've gone back on those articles now, and I've read more. I've done more research. There's a new newspaper called the Epoch Times. Well, I don't know how new it is. But they have a lot of information that doesn't get in mainstream newspapers. Now, these are journalists, you know, they're not whistleblowers and things like that. They're journalists, but they get information that the mainstream, like CNN and the regular New York Times, they won't print these articles. Well, the Epoch Times does. So their coverage of a lot of the stories, it'll have some of the same things you read in the mainstream papers, plus other revelations that never make it into mainstream media. So it's a much more balanced coverage. And they're even voicing some of these, some of the inconsistencies about Epstein's, you know, supposed suicide. How come the coroner hasn't been able to give us a reason for the death yet? He's had the body for how long now? And he still has not, said whether or not
They're saying that there was a broken bone in his neck. And the latest thing that I saw tonight was that they believe he hung himself with the sheet and that, yes, there was a broken bone in his neck. Now, whether that is going to stick and whether people are going to buy that and whether the, the powers that be keep investigating those answers, I don't know. It'll all depend on who's pushing those buttons, like what you just said. I mean, it's obvious. That's the point I was making in the very beginning. It's one thing to know that there's deviants in the world. There's sickos. There's people that, you know, things aren't firing right in their heads. And we know that. We talk a lot about mental illness. We talk a lot about the issues that can come up with somebody. I mean, I don't know if you watched the movie Split,
but this is where I don't agree with you. I don't think it's mental illness. I think it's a belief system. I think these people
Okay, but now listen to what I said. I said we are aware of the mental illness. We are aware of all those things. We talk about them openly. But this is different. This is different.
Okay. Gotcha.
This is a different kind of an illness, but it's still some kind of an illness. I don't think it has a name for it because they really can't explain it. But what really bothers me is all the people that they can solicit to be on their team. That's what I was saying in the very beginning. Now, this woman that's all over the front page of everything you pick up, his sidekick, his girlfriend, his whatever she was a big part of finding the girls in the very beginning, and that's one of his biggest claims to fame in their circles, the other people that were supporting all of this, was the fact that once he got somebody, it was just like, I mean, Scientology, all the different things. People are looking for answers, and they see something, and they see all this money flowing freely. And they think, you know, what's the big deal? So I do this for them. You know, girls give it away for free. Boys give it away for free. I mean, I can just imagine the kind of conversations one has with themselves that's a relatively decent person that can talk themselves into being part of this just because see all the success. And we're brought up to believe that if you're successful, it's because you did everything the right way. Not that you were,
I think they know what they're doing is harmful to society. I don't think any of them involved in that.
Well, I would hope so.
A couple of the people that are now being whistleblowers that have escaped, they admit, you know, that they're not trying to make themselves out to be angels. They say that they were, you know, that they went along so far because they really didn't care about other people. It was just all about the wealth and the power and the self-gratification, you know. But they got to a point where they were asked to do things that, like, snapped them out of this this manipulation that they were under, it's almost kind of like a brainwashing. And they were like, well, wait a minute, I don't mind doing that. And I realized it wasn't a nice thing to do, but, you know, it's like I wanted to do it, so I did it. But now you're asking me to do something that I can't take that step. I can't go there. And that's when they realize that so what they'll do in these rings is they bring you in with some of them. Okay. I don't know about Epstein's. I don't know enough about his particular one, but some of these pedophile rings that the whistleblowers are talking about. All right. What they do is they'll bring you in. They start getting you in. They get a lot of information on you. So now you can be blackmailed because now you've participated in enough to put you in a vulnerable position to them. And then they'll take you to another step, and then they'll take you to another step. Well, if at any point you try to say, I don't want to be part of this anymore, it's like being a member of a gang, or like you just said a moment ago, Scientology. Leah Remini did a very effective job with exposing the flaws of that church, and that it's really not a church, it's a cult, okay, and it's a cult that's out there just to make millions. It's worth over $1 billion now. I mean, that is one of the wealthiest organizations on the planet, and it's all by just taking people's money from them.
Shell.
Can you hear me?
Okay. You keep cutting out every now and then, Shell. Yeah. Every now and then you just cut like a few words.
Okay. Can you hear me better now? I took it off the
gone.
Speakerphone. Can you hear me
now? Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Scientology in that effect is, you know, if you try to leave, you know, or if you're in a gang or if you're in the mafia or things, you know, organized crime and stuff, you can't just, once you're in and you've participated, you can't then all of a sudden just say, I'm out of here.
Right. Well, that's what has me. Yeah, you cut out a few more times and then you come in really clear and then you cut out again.
I'm gonna hang up and call back in. Maybe I just got a wonky connection.
Okay. All right. So what I'm about to say to Shell is about, you know, the fact that that's what has me upset. It's not the bad guy that starts everything. It's the ones that buy into it, the everyday people that get they almost get a sense of hero worship for somebody who has wheeled and dealed and brought himself to the top of an organization like that, and they want a piece of it. Okay, Shell, you're back in.
Okay, can you hear me any clearer?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you clear. It's just that you keep dropping out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it might be, we're having a little bit of storms out here, so it might be affecting it.
Yeah, we are too. We are too here. I know because my dog is, you know, like on my feet. So I know there's something brewing out there. He does not like thunder and rain and all that good stuff. So anyway, but that's my point, honey. That's the whole thing. It's
right.
One thing to know the guy with the black hat on is a bad guy. But then all of a sudden you look over and everybody that's been wearing a white hat their whole life now is standing with the guy with the black hat on. It's almost like a I don't know. Are we that hungry for the material stuff? I guess so. And are we that uncaring of who it hurts to get there? I guess that's true too. You and
It's a particular sect of our society. It's not the masses. This is a very small percentage of the population of this planet that are taken in by this mindset. And I don't think it's mental illness. I think it's a mindset. I think it's where they feel entitled. They feel that we are here just to be able to provide whatever they want to keep them in power and money. Just think about how obscene it is that you have that much money being held by 1% of the population, when money is actually something that was created by, you know, when you go back thousands of years, there was no money. People bartered everything. Money was created by the people in power, which is generational, okay, in order to be able to lord over the masses so that you would have the wealthy and the poor to actually create this chasm between one sect of society and another. It was done quite deliberately. It didn't happen by accident. Didn't happen because certain types of ethnicities moved into your neighborhood. This was done quite deliberately so that you would have worker bees and the super wealthy, because there's never been a time when wealth was distributed somewhat evenly. You always had the obscenely super wealthy, and then you had people that were going hungry at night to go to bed. All right, and that's all part of this formula. That's all part of this mindset of them. Now, for me, because I have a universal, we are one attitude about people, I recognize that they are part of God, that they are a human being. All right, they don't. So from my standpoint to them is, you know, I don't want to send hate to them, because that's louche. Hate, anger, fear, horror, these are the emotions that actually give them more energy and give them more power. So what I want to do is I want to send them compassion, love, and forgiveness to hopefully soften their energy. And the more people that do that, that means they'll have less and less energy to work with, because it's all energy. Our whole existences here are based on good energy, bad energy, whether you can function from day to day, whether you can think clearly. When your energy is bad, you're in a bad mood, you can't think clearly. I mean, good and bad energy, it sounds overly simplistic, but it can really make a difference between you having a life where you can make good things happen for yourself, or if you have a life that spirals down. It's all based on the energy that you expose yourself to or that is thrust on you. And with these people, the more that people go to love, compassion, and forgiveness, especially forgiveness because of the horrors that they do, instead of hatred and anger and fear, it weakens them. And that's some of the other people that I've been listening to that talk about this are trying to inspire people. Even some of these whistleblowers, by the way, that's one of the things they talk about. They said, you cannot hate these people, because that emotion actually empowers them even more. They want to have that reaction from people. Fear and hatred are the two strongest emotions that bolster them.
Well, first of all, it's not for me. It's not about hatred. It's not about fear. It's about, my first reaction is, what the hell are you thinking? My second reaction is, I don't want you in any part of my life. It's not about whether or not I'm going to forgive you. For one thing, you don't care whether I forgive you or not. And the only time that would mean something to me is if I thought it was going to make a difference to somebody to forgive them. And right. I don't give them that much thought. The point I'm trying to make today is the fact that it seems like those people, and when I said mental illness, I said we are aware of mental illness. We talk a lot about people that are struggling with their mental health. And this is not about that. It is not about that, even though I'm sure if a shrink or even Dr. Amen took a look at some of the brains of some of these people that are willing, able, and without qualm or any kind of second thought, do some of the things that they do to other human beings, I find it difficult to believe that they're firing on all four cylinders. But that's not what bothers me. It's the fact that so many other people that seem to be on a normal path, whatever that is for them. And I can't even tell you what normal is anymore. But a normal path for me is for me to love the people in my life, to do the best I can for them, to the best of my ability, to care whether or not they're okay, to get mad at them when they do something stupid and let them know that I'm mad at them for doing something stupid, but still caring about them. That's my life. I don't expect other people to have the same life I have, but it bothers me to think that so many people that appear to be in that same space kind of sort of with me, with variables, can be brought in and be a part of some man's, one individual like this Jeffrey, and help him be a part of his, I don't know, his journey, his whatever it is. And he already has everything he wants. And there's not a girl he couldn't have said, "I'll marry you tomorrow if you'll come stay with me." And they'd have gone. It's, for me, yeah, it's hard to understand why there is that mean unkindness to make somebody into a lesser than you place. I'm not good with that. I'm not good with feeling like I have to be better than everybody else, because that's too big a burden. That's way too big a burden. So when I see, like the Clintons, very disappointing for me. Was I a big fan of the Clintons? No, I don't know them. I've never had a beer with them. I've never had dinner with them. I know nothing about them except what they show me on TV, right?
Right.
Nothing I know about them, and what other people surmise after meeting them and write a story about them. So I know nothing about them. But Clinton did something very stupid, hurt his wife horribly and his kids. And the only reason I ever had any, respect for Hillary was because of how she handled what he did to her. I was proud of the way she handled what her husband, who was the president of the United States of America, did to her. She still walked around with her head up, stuck by him. That took a lot of courage, Shelley. A lot of courage. Was she right? I don't know. But she certainly acted like a lady who was strong and, doing what she thought was right. That's what I respected about her. And now I hear that she's a part of.
Yeah, I thought that at one point I was on the same page that you are now, but now that there's such a link between Bill and a lot of these pedophile rings, because this isn't the first time he's been caught under it. He was very close friends with the leader of NXIVM, who was, they were school buddies. And they still had an ongoing friendship now. His name keeps coming up. He's been a passenger on these private jets to go to these private islands with these pedophile rings on. You can't tell me that Hillary didn't know who he was. I think they used each other for political gain. I don't think they had a normal marriage in the sense of what you think. So I think when she found out he was having an affair, she really didn't care, because that wasn't the type of marriage they had.
I don't know that I agree with that, but that's certainly possible.
Well, a lot of this information goes back a long time, so it's heart wrenching. But the first time I had ever heard about him was about a decade ago. There was a young girl, and she couldn't get any traction. But she was, because she's actually afraid to name names, but she said that she was taken on board an airplane. She was being trafficked. It was a woman who had brought her there. That's why she thought she was safe, because it was a woman that had brought her there. And it turned out the woman was the, I forgot what they call them. It's like these women that are in charge of actually recruiting these children. So, and because it's a woman, the
well, you see
girls
a lot of
feel
movies
safe.
About it now.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And anyway, so she gets on this airplane and she finds out that she's expected to have sex with, and she said the people on, and now she has gone to the authorities secretly, but she's not releasing the names outward, and this is something also recent. But she said that Bill Clinton was absolutely on the airplane more than once. So she never actually saw him with a girl, but the fact that he's even on the airplane, I mean, you can't tell me he doesn't know what these people are doing, you know. And it's his name is on the docket over and over and over again. So even his name is coming up in the Epstein files. And it's so funny because there's this, some people think that it's a ludicrous conspiracy theory, but conspiracy theories are really born out of information that doesn't make sense. So they really shouldn't be called conspiracy theories. There should be another name for them. It should be, investigation waiting for answers, you know, or like a cold case or something like that, because a lot of things that we call conspiracy theories are facts that aren't being investigated that don't make sense. All right. So there was one group that actually did a study on it's called the body count associated with Hillary Clinton. And I had heard a little bit about this, but I actually went on one website that goes in detail. Every time there was any kind of an investigation having anything to do with Hillary or Bill, somehow the person involved would die, and they always died from muggings, shootings. The one guy was robbed, shot in the parking lot, but nothing was actually robbed from him. Another woman supposedly committed suicide in her apartment, yet the gun wasn't in her hand anymore. I mean, whoever tried to stage this suicide is a freaking moron because they took the gun with them. But the coroner deemed it a suicide. How is that possible? So, you know, so they did, why did they deem it? Because the Clintons told them to. So it's like there's 46 names on this report, and it's not even done because this was done back in 2016. Since then, the woman, I forgot what the country it was, oh my goodness! It came out during the election. That's the one that Trump made the sarcastic comment about when Hillary was being looked at for that child trafficking ring when they had those 13 young girls that were taken overseas, and the woman who was heading the investigation was murdered while Hillary was there. So it's like, I mean, the number of people, and 12 of Hillary's guards have been shot. Why is that? I mean, there's no. I mean, she's not even a president, and she's had more bodyguards get shot than anybody else. So when you really look at the history of the Clintons and how much violence surrounds them, it's like every time anything hits the news that can mar their reputation, somebody dies, both men and women. And this list is astonishing when you read how the people died, how many of them were shot, how many of them were mugged. I mean, who knows that many people that get shot and mugged, you know? And, you know, like they said, you can look at any other politician and they don't have a body count like this associated with them. And the Clintons are a lot more powerful than people give them credit for.
Well, as I said, there's been a lot, but again, I'm not one to believe everything because I'm just not. And people, any kind of journalist can write whatever they believe because of free speech. Doesn't necessarily mean that all the facts are in place and that all the truth has been written. A lot of times it's an opinion of someone else. And I'm not sticking up for anybody. I'm just saying that I know that to be true. And I know that it makes it very tricky for anybody to really monitor their own beliefs when our media, and I'm not a fan of Trump calling it fake news, but I also, you know, kind of agree. I wouldn't do it like he does because I have a little bit more class than that. But people, I've been misquoted 100 times, and I'm nobody. Mm-hmm. Who cares if I said something right or wrong? Nobody gives a shit what I said. But still,
think about two of the stories that have been in the news for, like, conspiracy theories that have been rolling around for, like, forever. The assassination of President Kennedy and the 9/11.
Oh, yeah, there's a doozy.
Now, so the conspiracy theories have been out about them forever. There have been so many documentaries on, not on mainstream television, but like on off, like on these off channels, that have proven that it absolutely could not have been a single shooter. No way impossible. Unless that single shooter found a way to have the bullet, you know, ricochet, turn around, come back, get them from another angle. It's impossible. So obviously there was more to that. There was also no way of anybody being on that supposed vast grassy knoll, because the CIA was supposed to be clearing that entire area. So how does this little lone guy moron who had a rifle get through a wall? It's not possible. So I mean, it's a ludicrous story. But that's the narrative that the mainstream news, that puts it out there like it's factual. We know who killed John F. Kennedy. We know why. I was a nut, you know. And obviously that story is not true. Now, there's a lot of people with everything that's happening on the planet right now. Because remember, even all the spiritual texts have said that truth cannot stay hidden forever. Sometimes it takes a long time to surface, but truth cannot stay hidden. So now, all of a sudden, there are people in our own government right now that are trying to get the murder investigation of John F. Kennedy reopened. Okay? So this is within our own government. And 9/11. Because now people are starting to... They teach in school. This is what I'm talking about. So, unfortunately, I don't like the fact that Trump says it the way he says it, but I believe that there is more fake news in mainstream media than there is legitimate reporting. And one of the narratives is the whole story about how 9/11 happened and why it happened. It's the whole thing was fabricated, the whole story behind, but it's being taught in schools. So now I lived through that. I was sitting at my office that day, and I had my TV, because when I was working at home, and I saw it happen as it was happening, and immediately I realized it was a demolition job, because I've spoken about this on the show before. I had just seen a special on TV about what they have to do to bring a building down so that it doesn't collapse onto the street and collapse onto other buildings, to make it come down very neatly in what it's called, into its own footprint. And it takes a long time. It takes weeks to get all the charges in place. They have to get the building plan. I mean, it's a very, very time-consuming process. So when I'm watching these buildings come down, I never once thought it was because an airplane hit the top of the building. I'm looking at it in my naivety going, oh, my God, this is a demolition job. So instantly my thoughts went to, How did these, because I'm still thinking it's terrorists from outside the country, okay? How did these terrorists get access to every floor? Because you have to do it on every floor of the building or it doesn't come down. So that means they had to go on the entire floor plan for 100 floors to bring those, on each of those buildings, to bring them down as neatly as they came down, right into their footprints. So there's no way that happened from the planes hitting them. Well, now, that's been said enough times that now they're looking to reopen the investigation on 9/11 and who might have been involved in that on our side of the fence, because obviously it was an inside job. But most Americans can't wrap their brain around that people in high places would just kill 3,000 people to protect themselves. Because remember, the whole Enron investigation was going on then, and it all the papers were in that, was it building 7 or building 9? I don't remember which one. But one of the buildings that wasn't even hit by an airplane, that went down in its footprint too.
in a demolition with a little puff of smoke coming out on each floor, okay? It wasn't even touched by anything, but they blamed that on the whole thing, and the entire Enron case stopped then. The entire investigation never went anywhere, and all those men that were, you know, that were potentially going to lose, you know, millions or billions of their dollars, now all of a sudden they're completely in the clear because all the files were in that other building. So, you know, if they're willing to kill 3,000 people just to protect their money, you know, what wouldn't they do? And that's what the American people have to open their minds to. The vast majority of us are decent, caring, even some of the wealthy people. So I don't want people to villainize all people, even super wealthy people, okay? I'm only talking about these particular individuals that were involved in 9/11, have never been brought to justice, and there were a large number of the most powerful people within our own country that were involved in that, and they have not been brought to justice. And I think it's going to happen within the next decade.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been immersed in that whole thing with a myriad of different kinds of people that sit in relatively high seats, people that were involved in show business. There's a lot of schools of thought. And, of course, there's black market videos that I've seen, you know, that who knows if they're for true or not. I don't know. I'm not an aficionado on that kind of crap. But there are videos that show you exactly how it was, and there are things that I even thought myself in regard to 911 that didn't make sense. But I never considered myself, you know, the sharpest pencil in the box, so I didn't give it any credence. I do know that those buildings, the towers, were important buildings. They housed a lot of important people, and that day, a lot of those important people weren't there. I've always wondered why that was. Do I have an answer for that? No, I don't, because I don't know where you'd get the answer from, to be honest with you. But there were many things that day that I think just simply don't make sense, even to somebody like me who doesn't feel like they know a whole lot about it to begin with. But common sense is what it is. You know, you can't have two apples sitting beside each other and say there's one apple. It's just, you know, we make it one because they're standing beside each other. There's still two apples. There's some things that are that sensible that you can just say them that way, and then there are other things that are not. The shooting of Kennedy. I mean, that was like dragged through the proverbial mud for decades, everything, even the horrible things about Jackie Onassis trying to make her look like she knew he was going to be shot, so that's why she was trying to crawl out of the car. The fact that she just got scared shitless never gets mentioned, you know. She was trying to get away from her husband being shot. I'm like, what is wrong with everybody? So there will always be that, though, Shelley. There will always be that. There will always be the people that want to make drama out of just happenings. But what's sad, like I when we started the show tonight, is the fact that so many people are okay with buying into it. Everybody has their price. That's what hurts me more than anything.
You mean
buying into any kind of deviant behavior. If somebody makes them an offer for enough money, I'd like to think I wouldn't. I would really like to think I wouldn't. Of course, nobody's made me an offer that would save all my friends and my family, and we could sit on Easy Street for the rest of our lives and everything. But if they did and wanted me to do something really horrific, would I do it to safeguard the rest of my family? I say no. But because the offer's never been made to me, I don't know for sure. I think the person I know is Rainey would say, I simply can't do that. But most people will do it. That's what hurts me.
Yeah. I don't think most people will. I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people recognize that you can't, well, for lack of a better way of putting it, you can't skirt karma. So you can't do something wrong for a good reason and not suffer a consequence. So you can't do something horrible to one person to make your family's lives easier, because there'll be a consequence. And that consequence could be that more harm comes to your family, because, you know, the ends can't justify the means. The ends will actually determine, I mean, the means will actually determine the ends. So a lot of people say, well, the ends justify the means. That's not true. And they've proven that through a lot of historical, you know, stories that have come out. Is that whatever the means are it's going to dictate the ends. So if you do something with the best intentions, but you know it's wrong, and you're harming another individual, something is going to backfire. It can't work in the long term. And because I understand that, because I understand from an energetic standpoint that I'm actually setting myself up for a rebound of more harm. So if I do something terrible because it says, oh, now your family's going to be set for the rest of their lives, I know in the back of my head, well, no, it's not going to happen that way, because if I do this terrible thing over here, I'm going to bring that into my circle of experience, which includes my family. So I'm actually putting my family more at risk. And there are a lot of people that think along those lines, that think along the lines of karma. Even people that are Christians or Jewish people understand the concept of karma, and, you know, that you kind of reap what you sow. So they understand that, because I've watched some of these shows and I hear other people talk like that. So I know that other people think along those lines. That no matter what would be, you could offer them $10 million, but if they had to do some horrible thing to somebody to get that $10 million, they know that they would actually be bringing that back into their experience anyway. It's the people that are disconnected somehow. It's the people that don't see us all as one. This whole movement going around the world right now, we are one, we are one, we are one creator. You know, we're not Jewish, we're not Buddhist, we're not Christian, we're not this and that. We're human beings with different belief systems, different ethnicities, different cultures, but we're all human beings. We're all one in that respect. We're all children of a God, whatever you call that God, or even if you're an atheist, okay? But we're all one creation. And more and more people are feeling this way and believing this way. And I think they would be able to resist that type of temptation, because they understand the connection of their decisions and energy and things like that. It's the people that are disconnected, that don't see us all as one, that see it as us against them, that see it as black and white and Jewish and Christian, and, you know, that classify us, okay, rich and poor and, you know, that kind of thing, powerful and you know, that kind of thing. Those are the people that are easily manipulated with these type of power games. You know, you do this terrible thing for me, and now you could have this position. You do this terrible thing to that person over there, and your family set for the rest of their life. They would be brought in to that type of a manipulation.
Well, I think your outlook is lovely. And I would love to believe the same thing, but that was the whole I brought up tonight. That's what shocks me, is that there's always somebody that's willing to help a Jeffrey Epstein. There's always somebody that's willing to help a Bill Cosby. There's always somebody that's willing to step on a gold mine and, you know, just to better themselves without any thought of repercussion, without any thought. I mean, the Scientology stories tell you that. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, every now and then I'll read a story about it because it kind of makes me sick to my stomach. So I don't like to pay too much attention to it. And I'm always afraid that that I'll read something that I can really believe, and I don't want to. I mean, you know, that's just
right.
me. I don't like the thought that people can be that way with each other. I would rather feel that we are on this roll that is taking us to a better place of more understanding. But that's really not what I'm seeing, Shelley. I'm seeing mm-hmm. a lot more grief. These kind of stories like Epstein. I was so hurt about Bill Cosby
mm-hmm.
that I
yep.
can't even put it yep. into words.
Well, keep in mind,
there's been many other ones.
Well, keep in mind that this whole thing with Epstein has been going on for a very long time. So again,
sure, I know,
and I kind of made this point.
And he got
on
protected
other shows.
By millions. He got protected by
right.
other people all the way through.
Right,
it.
Right, right. Other powerful people, other wealthy people that were at risk of being exposed. But think about it. That what's happened in the last couple of years, there has been more corruption, abuse of power. Trafficking, human trafficking stories, child
yep.
sex trafficking
yep.
stories. There has been more of that has been revealed in just the last couple of years than ever before in history. It's like on a global consciousness, people are waking up and saying enough is enough. We have to raise our humanity. We cannot tolerate this anymore. And a lot of very, very powerful people are being brought to task. I think the Epstein arrest is just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's going to be a lot more that's going to happen over the next couple of years based on some of the insiders that I've been listening to. They had predicted this, and it happened. So, and there's a lot of other names.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of other names that we're going to be hearing in the news in the foreseeable future, like later on this year and into next year. So, you know, it's heart-wrenching times, but the fact that it's not like all of a sudden there's more bad out there is that the bad is being brought to light. And that's a good thing because that's the only way that we can cleanse our society. That's the only way that we can get our society acting more humanely and where people are safe and things like that. And talking about Scientology, by the way, the finale of that show is going to air on, I think I just read this yesterday, August 26th on, on the A&E channel. So that should be, I'm curious to see how, because supposedly she's going out with a bang, with a real expose, on an update on a lot of what's going on with the legal things and stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to watch the show, but I've read a couple of the books about science. I read her book, which I thought it was very well written. And it was some of the disclosures in there were quite shocking, but yeah, so I've gotten several of the books. I also got the book by Miscavige's father, which was heart-wrenching to read because he still loves his son, and he can't believe what he turned into because of the power. The power and the money really just warped him, and, you know,
yep.
he didn't see it happening, and by the time he did, he wasn't even allowed calling him David. He had to call him Mr. Miscavige. I mean, his own son. But he just became another servant. You know, there was no father-son relationship there anymore. So it's tragic.
Yeah. Well, that's the deal. I mean, that's why when you said let's talk about this tonight, I'm glad we did. But I have such mixed emotions because of that, because it's a very mm-hmm. deep well, a very, very
oh,
deep
yeah.
well with lots
yep.
of murky, deep water. And it hurts me more for the people that got brought in because they were in a bad place or because they're stupid or whatever their reason is, that we're willing to help somebody with such a game plan. I mean, you're my close friend. If you called me tomorrow and said, Renee, I'm really in trouble. I need you to help me do this. And it meant doing something that was going to hurt somebody else. I'd be like, Shelley, I love you, but I can't have any part of that. And I wish you wouldn't either. I may even have
exactly.
to turn you in.
Exactly.
So that's who I think people are supposed to be, right?
Yep.
That's who people are supposed to be, and that's what hurts me more than anything else. So it is what it is, but it's gotten out of hand, and you just see it like, you know, that Misery Loves Company is probably the truest statement anybody can make. Addiction, that's the biggest trouble with addiction. If you've got a friend who wants to do drugs with you, you'll do drugs every stinking day. If you know, it's just the deal. You know, everybody wants to bring everybody down with them, and it hurts me. When you have an opportunity to lift up instead of sliding down, you make the easiest choice, and you've almost always got somebody with you. A lot of people don't rise with you, but a lot of people will sink with you. It's a scary thing. So thanks, and we'll be back on Monday evening. I'm kind of liking this. My dinner time gets a little hairy depending on how I pull it together, but I'm kind of enjoying being in here at night. And a lot of times things happen during the day that I'm glad we're doing the show so that I can talk about them like this, because I'd watched part of the, after you sent that, then I looked up some stuff and read some more stuff, and I was like, oh God, I wish I didn't know any of this, but it is what it is. So God bless everybody. Have a good evening. And I am still working on meeting with Sean. And seeing if we can get God Sprouts on, because I think that would be a fun show. So everybody have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday night. Thanks, babe. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Thanks, Rainey. Bye bye. God bless everyone.